All right, well, good morning. How are we doing today? Yeah, that's what I like to hear. It was a good morning of worship, powerful stuff, preparing our hearts and our minds to hear what God has to say for us. We are in the final week of our series, Make Yourselves. We've been on a journey, a nine-week journey, and we've gone over a lot, and we're gonna close out the journey today. We're going to be in John 21, but before we do that, before we get there, I wanna let you know about something that just took place that we're kicking off tomorrow. So we had our brotherhood gathering, and we have it on the fourth Friday of every month. And we launched an initiative to the men. It's a 31-day challenge. We're calling it Make Yourself Resilient. And within this challenge, We're challenging all the men to go after following Jesus daily, what we've been talking about. And it takes them through the journey and the progression that we've been talking about. But each day, they're going to focus on being holy in spirit, spending time in scripture and reflecting on that scripture, and then being whole in mind. And there's a challenge to read a book each day and reflect on that. And then the third portion of it is to be healthy in body. If you've been doing my devotionals, you've been doing this every day, and so that we want to keep that going. And the healthy in body is about doing some sort of exercise, as well as other things like taking something out of your diet, taking sugar out, stuff like that. And then the fourth and final piece of what we're challenging the guys to is the brotherhood, is to have accountability as they do this. And so do this, so they've teamed up together to hold each other accountable to go through this Be Resilient 31-day challenge. I wanted to bring it up because we had an amazing night. We had, I think, about 23 guys commit to going through this challenge, and so it's a big deal. And so, but I knew there are a couple of men, actually a handful of men, that couldn't be there for one reason or another, and I didn't want you to miss out. And if you've never been to Brotherhood, you'd be like, well, I missed out too. And so I wanted to let you know, we're doing this. The men in the church are doing this, and we wanted to invite you to do it with us. It starts tomorrow. I gave all the men physical booklets on Friday night, and unfortunately, my printer's done. It's kaput. I ran out of ink, and it won't print anymore. But we do have a digital copy of this, and if you're wanting to do this as a man and you want to join us in this journey, what I'll do is I'll send that digital copy out to you for this week, and then I can even print one for you to pick up either through the week or next Sunday. If this is something you say, yes, I want to dive into this, I want to be a part of this, I want to do this as a man, I would say write down the word resilient on a prayer card or on on the next step card, and I'll connect with you and I'll get everything that you need to enter through this. Now, the other cool thing that we've done, it's not just for the men. So if you are married, I've also created a companion booklet for your spouse called Make Yourself Strengthen Him. And what this is for the spouses of men who are going through this, is just a prayer and encouragement. Each day, it'll go through what he is being challenged to, and then it'll tell you to pray for him and encourage him that day. This is not you holding him accountable or going, did you do your thing today? I told the men, if the wives get on them about that, I said, I'm going to call them and say, knock it off. Okay? Because we have men holding them accountable to that. That's not your role in this. Your role, prayer and encouragement, as they seek Jesus daily to be better versions of themselves and be better for you and your family and all that. And so maybe you say, I don't know if my husband's going to sign up for that. You sign him up. Write resilient. You know what I'm saying? And I'll give you that. You sign him up, and we'll get that to you. I would just love for you to be able to join that. So I wanted to put that out to you again. You can write resilient on your next step card or your prayer card. And then what I'll say, like, I would invite the entire church to be praying, praying for these men who have committed to do this. It's a big commitment. We're asking of a lot, but hey, it's a privilege to get to follow Jesus, and we want to be more like him every day for all of our relationships. So I would say pray. Be in prayer over the next 31 days for the men in this church, because here's what I know. As the men in this church grow closer to God and follow Jesus more, they will be better for their spouse. They will be better for their kids. They will be better for their family. They will be better for their work co-workers. They'll be better for their community, and they'll be better for this church.
And so as they are strengthened, the whole of the church community will be strengthened. And it's an amazing thing that we get to enter into. And basically what we're doing is we've gone through this 9-week progression. And we're saying we got to do this daily. It's not something that we did for 9 weeks and say, that was fun in the beginning of the year, but I'm good. No, this is something that we're going to keep doing. And we're kicking it off with a 31-day challenge. Again, write the word resilient if you want to be a part of that. Okay, now let's get into this week. If you were here with us, if you've been tracking along, we've been going through this progression. Last week, we talked about repentance and turning back, right? Turning back to Jesus. We looked at the moment of betrayal from Judas, denial from Peter, and then how all of the disciples in that moment deserted Jesus as he was arrested and taken and crucified. And so in all that, we recognize that there will be moments of failure, there will be moments of sin, and there's this great importance to repent, to recognize it, turn back from it. Now, I shared with you last week from Luke 22, and in Luke 22, there's this whole thing where Jesus is talking to Peter and talking about him and how he's going to deny him 3 times, and Jesus says something to Peter that's so key that kind of springboards us into what we're going to talk about today, our final assurance statement. But let me read this to you just as a kind of refresher. Luke 22, verse 31. It says, "Simon, Simon," again, this is Peter, "look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat," saying he's going to tempt you, and there's going to be this moment where there's failure and denial. "I love what he says next, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And then the last line is so key and so crucial. "And you, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers." And it's just like this reassurance to Peter, like, listen, this is going to happen, but you're going to turn back. You will deny me, but you will also come to a place of remorse and repentance, and after that, you will be restored. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at that moment. We're going to jump from the moment of denial all the way over to this moment of restoration that we find in John 21. And so we're going to see this conversation that Jesus has with Peter in restoration. And then at the very end of it, guess what we get? The last assurance statement of John's gospel right in John 21. So we're going to look at all of this. John 21, be on the screens behind me. It says, "When they had eaten breakfast," let me just preface really quick. So this is after Jesus' resurrection, right? And he begins to show himself to the disciples. And guess what the disciples are doing? They're out fishing. Peter's out in the boat again. He's fishing and they're having a hard time and he can't catch anything. And Jesus shows up on shore and calls him in. So this is where we find ourselves. "When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said to him, 'you know that I love you.' 'Feed my lambs,' he told him. A second time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said to him, 'you know that I love you.' 'Shepherd my sheep,' he told him. He asked him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep,' Jesus said." And then right after that, he enters into this final assurance statement. Here's what he says to Peter: "I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me. Follow me." And so I'm gonna connect all this because there's this really, really cool progression that's taking place. But really quick, what I want to say is this final assurance statement, it is showcasing in the life of Peter, someone who now embodies the full progression of following Jesus. He has went through it all, and he's now come to this place where he is fully yielded and ready to move forward with the things that God has called him. So he's followed, he's believed, he's heard, he's obeyed, he's hungered, he's yielded, he's served, he's repented. And now we get one more step in the progression that Jesus is going to ask him. Now, before we get into that, you know, we've been walking through this series kind of in a linear fashion, right? We've been looking from start to finish, and I've been giving you this progression and how Jesus calls us to follow him. But the reality is that following Jesus it won't always feel linear. So we have these steps, but it's not like, oh, I got to follow them in this order. And if I don't, then I've messed up or somehow I got to go back. That's not the reality of it. What I'll say is that the progression of following Jesus isn't always sequential. Like, you don't always have to be like, okay, I got to follow in this order. And then I got to keep following in this order. It's not always sequential, but the steps do remain the same. Each and every one of those steps is necessary, but we don't all follow them in the same way, or at the same moment, or for the same amount of time. And we saw this through our story. Some believe before they fully follow. Some hear and obey before they fully understand. Some, like Thomas, don't believe until the end. Some, like Peter, don't fully yield until after failure and repentance. We go back to that moment, like Peter once told Jesus, right, that he would die with him. No, Lord, I'm going to go with you to the very end. Guess what? We know it didn't happen at that moment, did it? He was so sure of himself. I'm going to die with you, but it didn't happen in that moment. And so now we get to this moment, and Jesus says to him, I know now that you are fully yielded to me and ready to do whatever it takes to follow me. Jesus is essentially saying to Peter, I assure you, now you will live like I did. And you will be willing to die like I did. This is full surrender in life and in death. And from this moment forward, we see this significant shift in Peter's life. And he moves out and he has a heart and a mind and words and actions that are yielded to the will of the Father. It's not Peter just doing these bold and brash things because of what he wants to prove to others. No, it's saying, Lord, these are the things I'm going to do, and I'm believing that they are yielded to your will. But it took a moment of failure. It took a moment of humility before he could get there. And often it takes humility, right? Like being humbled, a fall, a failure, a turning away. It takes humility to break through the one thing that keeps you and I from completely surrendering to the will of Father. Peter experienced it. He came face to face with it. You read through the story, you find that there is immediate remorse, there's shame, there's regret, there's guilt, and it's followed by repentance. And we talked a lot about the importance of this. Like, it's one thing to recognize it. It's another thing to repent of it. And you got to do both. And like, if we're not willing to recognize our sin and repent of our sin, it will keep us from what God has for us, but also what God wants to do through us for others. And we're going to see how this plays out for Peter. Now, again, during our journey we've been on, a lot of what we've been talking about has been very much focused on like our individual progression in following Jesus, right? These are the things that we're going to make ourselves step. Like, we're going to make ourselves step to following. We're going to make ourselves move to believe. We're going to make ourselves hear and obey. Like, we're all trying to do these things and step into what God has for us so that the Spirit can then work and move and do the transformation that God. But we have to move towards him. And so it's so important that we do that. Like, we've got to make sure daily, and we've talked about this, daily we're working towards Christ, daily we're working towards the Father. We want to make sure we're working on our walk with Jesus, but that work that he's doing in our lives isn't solely for our benefit. And that statement right there, if you can come to a place where you realize that, that's a place where you've reached maturity in your walk. It's not just about you. Right, he's going to work on you, and he's going to have you be changed and challenged and transformed, but it's not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. And so I look at Jesus, like, he took time to walk alongside the 12 disciples. And you get to learn and read a lot about this. These guys were a ragtag bunch of dudes, right? Probably the least likely that anyone would have thought, like, if you were going to pick an all-star team to be Jesus's followers, right, to go and win the, you know, the championship game, these aren't the guys you pick, okay? But Jesus picked them, and he spent, he was with them daily, dealing with all their nonsense, their ridiculousness and their burdens, but he walks alongside them and he teaches them and he challenges them and he rebukes them and he encourages them, all so that they can grow in their individual faith. And so for 3 years, he strengthens them so that he can bring them to a maturity in their faith, so that when he goes away, they can begin to do the same for others, right? He's saying, I'm doing this for you so that when you are mature, when you are following, when you get to this place, that I want to make sure that you are prepared so that you can do it for others. It's not just for your benefit. And so it's so important that we recognize this and move towards maturity and go, okay, I'm going to work on me. But while I'm working on me, I know that God also wants to work through me. And this is what we see in this final assurance statement. We see what the final step is. And actually, this final statement is kind of twofold. So I want to show you both of these things in this moment. The first thing we see in this assurance statement, the first thing is that we're called to follow, right? Jesus says, follow me. What did Jesus say at the very beginning? Anybody know? What did he tell the disciples? It's not a trick question. Yeah. All right, it's follow me. And so in this moment, it's like, I've asked you to follow. You did. And now I'm saying, follow me again. And in this, like, you got to put yourself in this moment for Peter. So for Peter, all of this is so familiar. What was he doing when Jesus first called him? Fishing. Wasn't catching nothing. Jesus is on the shore. Jesus is like, yo, do this, right? And then he does it and he says, follow me. But then we get to the second, and the same thing is happening. And in this moment, it's just so great because Jesus is going, just remember, I called you to follow. And that calling to follow is still there. And so the first instance, right, it's a call. It's a recognition of who Jesus is and say, come on, I'm going to show you some things. The second restoration, the second follow me, is letting Peter know that his sin didn't disqualify him from following. It only does if he refuses to repent of it. And so this is what he's saying. And so you get these three denials that are met with these three restoration statements, right? And so he's saying, like, yes, I know you denied me three times. I am now restoring you three times. And it's just this beautiful moment of restoration with Peter. And Jesus is like, you followed me once. Yes, you turned away, you sinned, but you turned back. You've repented. You are forgiven. Now follow me again. Don't stop. Don't let sin keep you from what I have for you. And this is, again, this is just a great reminder of the importance of repentance. Because repentance, Luke 22, I already shared it with you. When you return back, my call to you is to strengthen your brothers. And man, this is exactly what Peter does. You get into the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3, you have Peter standing boldly, proclaiming the message of Jesus to all that would hear. He's proclaiming the message of Jesus in the midst of the very men that arrested Jesus and put him on the cross. And you remember, and you go back, and you go, he was afraid, he was fearful. He said one thing, but he denied his faith because he didn't want to go where Jesus went. And now he's going, I am going to stand firm in my convictions and what God called me to. I'm going to strengthen my brothers. I'm going to show them the boldness. And it's an amazing thing to see because in Acts 3:41, it says, and the church increased and it was strengthened. Peter may have denied Jesus three times, but after he was restored, we're told that through his bold teaching, 3,000 people began to give their life to Jesus. 3,000 people began to follow Jesus. And I look at that and I go, man, look at the multiplication power of forgiveness and restoration of our Savior. Three denials becomes 3,000 salvations. And would Peter have ever imagined that? No. But look what God does through him and how he restored him. It's a powerful thing. And so, Jesus calling the 12, and I've said this, Jesus calling the 12 to follow him was never just about their individual faith. It was about equipping and empowering them to go out and to feed others. And for us, as we mature and grow in our faith, we'll find that it's no longer just about us following him. No, it's a call to both and, right? To continue to follow Jesus while we help others follow Jesus as well. I fully believe that everything Jesus calls us to and everything the Spirit does in us is never meant to stop with us, right? It's meant to flow through us, to bless others, to help others, to show others, to share with others how they can then follow Jesus as well. And so that's it. Like, the call to follow Jesus and feed others, like, that's our call, both, all of it. It doesn't matter what season you're in, doesn't matter what you're going through. This is what he calls us to. Now, it's going to happen in varying ways and at different times. And so I think just as we're going through this thing, as we're working on our own faith, we got to remember to strengthen other people's faith as well. And just, you know, like, we've been looking at this progression, and you know, you can look through these eight different things and go, there are some areas where I'm weak, there are some areas where I'm strong. And the reality of it is that God will continue to work on one or more of these things, right? He wants you to be firm in them all. He wants you to be confident in them all. He wants to grow you in all these areas. But we know this. There's going to be some that require a little bit extra work, right? A little bit more refining. And we don't know how long that's going to take. We don't know what that's going to pan out. But what I'm getting to is that we're never going to arrive. I talked about this. We're always going to need to be drawing closer to the Lord so that we can become more like Jesus. But we're never going to get there. Like, we got to keep working at it. And if that's the case, then if we're going to continue to work on that, we can't wait until we arrive. It'll never happen. Like, if we wait until we have all of these things figured out before we begin to feed others, we're never going to move to feeding others. And so we got to work on ourselves while we work at feeding others. Whatever reason, I was drawn to the Apostle Paul. And this is a guy, he went through the gamut. He thought he knew everything. He thought it was the right way. Jesus, of course, humbled him. And Paul's one of those guys, he's a smart guy. You read through, you know, the New Testament, you read some of the things he talks about, the way that you're like, this guy is overwhelming. He can be a bit arrogant at times. He can sound a bit pompous as well, right? And Paul's one of those guys where you're like, if there's anybody that could say, I have every reason to say I'm good, or I can be someone that would boast, you would go, it would probably be Paul, the guy that wrote majority of our New Testament, right? But guess what Paul says, Philippians 3:12. He says, not that I've already reached the goal, or I'm already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I've been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. And so you look at Paul's life and you go, man, this guy that's writing majority of the New Testament, he is out there, he is starting churches, he's planting churches, he's writing letters to do what? To strengthen his brothers. And he's going, I don't got it all together. But I'm going to continue to do the work that God calls me to. And I'm going to continue to have God work on me as well. And so, in our journey of following Jesus, what I'll say, because I think Paul was honest. He was very honest about his journey. He was very honest about his path. He was very honest about the things that he struggled with. And then the same has got to be true for us. We got to be honest. We got to be honest with ourselves and with others about our weaknesses. Stop putting on a facade. Stop acting like you got it all together. Stop, you know, be like, oh yeah, all eight of these, you know, steps, and I've got them all. I'm good in all these areas. I don't need to work on anything. Just start being honest with yourself. We talked a little bit last week about like self-awareness and examination and going, okay, what do I need to work on? Because at the end of the day, I think every single one of us is going to continue to work on things in our lives. And so continue to do that. Be honest about where you're at. Don't let it cripple you. Don't let it hold you back. Just go, this is an area that I know I'm weak in and I need help. And I think oftentimes we don't want people to know about our weaknesses. We don't want them to know about our failures. Because we think, well, if I tell them, if I share that with them, then they're going to look at me in some way. They're going to judge me, condemn me, and begin talking about you. Actually, most of the time, if you're in the right circle and you're surrounded by the right people, your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what's going to happen when you share that with them? They're going to go, I feel you. I understand. I get it. Because I went through what you're going through. And I've been where you've been at. And that used to be my weakness as well. But I'm so thankful that through the Word and through the Spirit and through people that God put in my life, that I am now strong in that aspect and I'm strong in that area. And those people will rally around you and go, let me help you in your weakness. And then they'll probably go, let me tell you about mine. And maybe you can help me in my weakness as well. So we got to recognize where we're weak. Be confident where we're at. Like if you're strong in certain areas, use those to help other people. But know this, man, like God wants to use you even while he's still working on you. And that'll continue to be true for the rest of your life. He's going to continue to work on you, and while he is, he wants to use you to help others. And often, I've seen this in my life, I've seen this in other people's lives, how he calls you to serve and feed others will help develop and strengthen the areas where you're weak. And he's going to go, in your power, in your wisdom, in your might, you can't. Step into it, and I'll show you what I can do through you, and I can show you what other people are going to show you as well, and you will be strengthened and equipped and empowered to do it. And it's one of those things, like we think about this, and we think about just our faith walk and our journey and where we're at and the things that we're struggling with. And at the end of the day, like maybe you're still in a season of growing. That's okay, God can still use you. Maybe you're in a season of sifting. God can still use you. Maybe you're just learning to follow. God can use you. And he wants to use you. It's one of those things, like if I'm willing to serve others and feed others, even while God is still shaping my weak points, my strong points can strengthen them, and they can strengthen me. And this is such an important aspect of being a follower of Jesus. When we kicked off Brotherhood this year, we narrowed down a scripture that we wanted to kind of have as our yearly scripture, and it was, you know, Proverbs 27:17, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And this is what we're talking about, right? The weak points kind of help the strong, and you begin to get this friction, and you strengthen one another through these things. In the 31-day resilient challenge that we gave these men, I told you we set up accountability. We've called them 2x2 teams, and these 2x2 teams come from Jesus sending out the disciples in Mark 6 in pairs, right, to go out and do the work and do the ministry, and he sent them out together. And as he sent them out, the reality was, like, some are strong in some areas and some in others. And so, like, they're playing off one another's strengths, and they get to watch the other person do their thing and go, okay, now I'm going to try. And they begin to encourage one another. And it's one of those things I was thinking about, Jesus sending out the 12 in pairs or sending out disciples. It wasn't just 12, it was some other disciples as well. Do you think those men were ready for that? Do you think they were fully equipped for that? Do you think they had it all together? They were fully yielded, doubted nothing. They were hearing and obeying. Listen, you can read through all the Gospels and go, no. These guys, they weren't ready, but Jesus sent them out anyway. Right? And it's one of those things, like as he did, their faith was strengthened. They learned not only to rely on the Spirit, but they learned also to rely on one another. And so they followed him. And they went and did the tasks that God called them to, even though they weren't fully equipped for it. And through this obedience and this willingness to yield to God's will, their faith was strengthened, and they were able to strengthen the faith of their brother, and they were able to go out and share the message of Jesus and the hope of Jesus so that more people can begin to follow. And at the end of the day, we know they messed up, right? Their faith, their confidence, their resolve, it was tested. But you can guarantee that their faith was matured in that moment. And they began to see something in themselves and believe something about themselves because Jesus said, go out, you can do this together. Follow me and feed others. And so that's the reality. And that's what I'm sharing with you. And that's what I'm getting out of this last assurance statement. Following Jesus is just one half of the journey. It's one we're going to do all the days of our life. We're called to follow Jesus daily. The other half is to take how we're following and being strengthened and learning and begin to give that to others and strengthen others and feed others. And this is what Jesus spent his time on earth doing with these men. He was establishing this and helping them go, you need to rely on the Spirit and you need to rely on one another. Do you know what happens right in the Bible, right after the Gospels? Do you know what Jesus, after like Jesus ascends, do you know what Jesus set up? Do you know what is birthed out of that? Anyone know? the church. Jesus ascends. He sends the Spirit. And the very next thing that we see taking place is the church is born. What is the church? The church is a place of community where brothers and sisters in Christ can strengthen one another, encourage one another, and then they are sent out to serve and help others learn about Jesus so they can then follow Jesus as well. And you see, like, this is what Jesus showed them, and then he gave them the Spirit and empowered them, and then he gives Peter this command to strengthen the brothers, and the church is born out of it. And that's it. And each and every one of you is the church. And each and every one of you has a role to play in the church. There is someone in this room today that needs you by their side, that can be strengthened by your testimony, that can be strengthened by your weaknesses. They need you. And that's why the Lord has you in this place. And so you have a role to play. You have a role to play in owning your own faith walk, right? No one can do that for you. Right? No one can follow Jesus for you. You have to follow Jesus for yourself. So you got to own that. You also have a role to play in sharing the gospel so that other people can make the decision to follow Jesus. And you have a role to play in strengthening your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus calls us to follow him and feed others. We've gone through and we have this clear path, right? These clear steps that we must continue to work on daily for ourselves and to help others in our lives. And so as we wrap up our series today, I think what I want to do is I want to take a moment examining each of the steps that we've given over the last 9 weeks to help us follow Jesus. And so I'm calling it like a make yourself progression inventory. And so you see the different steps, including the one that we have here today. And you look at each one and you got to begin to go, okay, which one am I weak in? Which one am I strong in? Where do I need to grow? Which one of these areas has God given me, man, great strength and has already grown me so much that I can begin to use that to then help others? I think one question too is you go, okay, I'm weak in this. And you got to go, well, what has God been calling me into that will strengthen me in this? Not going, hey, when you get this in order, then do this. No, God's going, hey, I want you to step over here. And if you're willing to be obedient and step where I tell you, that thing that you're so weak in will be strengthened. Really examine these areas of your life and begin to question, you know, why is it weak? Why is this area strong? And then I think another thing too is like, if you go, this area is very, very strong. Am I using my strengths in Christ to serve and feed others? And if not, how can I begin to do that? What I want to do as we close out our time today, you can leave that up there for a moment, is I really want to spend time reflecting on that, spending time in prayer in that. I want you right now, as we close our eyes, bow our heads, go into a moment of prayer with God, really spend time right now just reflecting on these things. Each step, remembering your journey of faith. I think this is one of those things too, like the first thing that Jesus says, the first and last, but the first thing, he says, follow me. And it's such a simple phrase, but do you understand how privileged you are that Jesus called you to follow him? I just think that alone is something we should not take for granted. We have been invited into a relationship with God through Jesus. We have been invited to the story of the gospel in advancing the kingdom of God through Jesus. He says, follow me. And that decision to follow Jesus is one of the greatest we'll ever make of our life. Remember that moment. Remember the day, remember the hour, remember the time, remember the circumstances where you heard clearly from the Spirit, from the Word. God said, follow me. Let me show you greater things. Remember what he began to show you, reveal to you. Remember the bondage of sin that he broke you out of. Remember the chains that were loose. Remember the freedom that came from following Jesus. And then work your way through the rest. Thinking about your belief, wrestling with that, and the things that God has done to strengthen your belief. Consider the ways in which God has spoken to you, and you listened, and then he called you to obey, and how hard those moments were. But afterwards, when you heard and you obeyed, you saw him work and move in miraculous ways. Just think about that moment when you fully yielded your life, your will, your desires, your expectations to him, your relationship, your marriage, your addiction, when you fully surrendered, the power that it brings. Again, these things don't happen in the same way, in the same time, but each of them does happen. So just begin to examine, God, what are you working on? Where's my faith weak? Have I stopped believing in some way? Have I stopped yielding? Have I stopped listening and obeying? God, have I stopped serving? God, am I only focused on my own individual faith and I'm not working to feed others? God, reveal to me the areas that you want to strengthen and give me a willingness to step into whatever you call me to. God, we thank you for the power of your word, for the clear steps that your son laid out to us through the Gospel of John. These powerful, powerful statements about who Jesus is and what he did and that he called us into it. He says, live like me, die like me. God, we have been given a privilege of being your sons and your daughters. And I just pray that we would continue to seek you daily in all that we do, so that you can strengthen us and help us lead others in their walk and ultimately lead others to follow you as well. God, I pray for the men who are going through the 31-day challenge. I pray if they made the commitment, they would stick to it as best as they can. I pray for their spouses, that they would pray over them and encourage them. I pray for a church that would rally around these men so that their faith can be strengthened, so that they can rise up, strengthen their brothers and strengthen the church, so that the gospel will go out and people will be freed from addiction, that marriages will be saved, that wayward sons and daughters will come back to you. We believe that today in your name, and we're asking that you would do a work in us and through us today, tomorrow, the next day, and all the days of our life. May we never let up. May we never give up. May we tell the enemy that he's a liar when he says our sin disqualifies us, because Jesus defeated our sin on the cross and he forgives us. For the wayward soul, may we turn back today and follow you again wholeheartedly. We are not defined by our sin. We are defined by our Savior. May we live for him every day. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.